מלאכי מלאף פרק ידען פסיק חפה. והיא בשל לך מישהי סלם מלאך ירובם, על השישק מלאך מצרים על ירושלים. The fifth year that Yerobam was king, Shishak, the king of Mitzrayim, decided to conquer Yerushalayim. Now again, Rehoboam was a good king in the beginning, but he was influenced by the rest of Bnei Israel, and he also began worshipping idols. We saw this at the end of last week, and now he's being punished for that. So unlike Yerobam, that his whole family was being wiped out, Rehoboam was being punished in a different way. Shishak took all the treasures of Beis HaMelech, everything from Beis Hashem, he took everything. Shlomo made these beautiful armors made out of gold, and he took all of them. So what did Rehoboam do in order to replace them? Vayas HaMelech Rehoboam tachtom magini nechoshes. Instead, he made armors made out of copper. V'yifkid al yad ha-sari ha-rotim v'shamim pesach beis ha-melech. So now, the Mepharshim over here talk about why it was so important for him to have these armors that the soldiers would use. So let's see first of all what he did with them, and then we'll see why he did it.
He walked in and picked them up, and they did it, and boy, he took.
He came with an army.
Guns
to fight a war with them.
He came with an army. It wasn't exactly didn't like knock on the door. Can I please have all of your armors? Right,
your armors.
Came with an army. Yeah. Every time the king would come to the Beis HaMikdash, the soldiers would go to the armor room. They would take the armor, hold them up, as the king would walk in, and after he finished walking in, they would put it back in their special chamber. Now, the Mepharshim remember talk about why he did this. So the Radak explains that maybe he was afraid of rebellion. He was afraid of rebellion, and therefore he did this as a show of strength, to show everyone how powerful he is. Because people might think, oh look, this king, Shishak, the king of Mitzrayim, came ahead and he took all of your stuff, he took all the treasures. You're a weak king, you're not that powerful, right? We can easily rebel if he wanted to. So that's why it was very important to him to replace the Meginim with, he couldn't replace them with gold, because Shlomo HaMelech, as you remember, had plenty of gold. There was no shortage of treasures or precious stones, precious metals. So he was able to produce them out of gold. But Rehoboam, who was not so wealthy like Shlomo, he was forced to make them out of copper, and it was important to him for him to have these maginim, these armors in place, is a show of force. To show that he's not so, don't get too many ideas, I'm not such a weak king after all. And it wouldn't be so easy to rebel. Another reason he brings down over here is that he just did it for the honor of the king. You know, it was like an honorable thing to have all the soldiers holding up their armors. And even though he didn't have the armors out of gold, he wanted to at least have the armors out of copper. So it'll be honorable for him to come to the Beis HaMikdash. V'yeser divrei Rehoboam v'chol asher asah lo yehem ketuvim al sefer divrei hayomim l'malchut Yehuda. Over here, the Navi does not bring down everything else that Rehoboam did, but it's mentioned in divrei hayomim. Umilchama haisa ben Rehoboam ben Yerobam kol hayomim. Now, if you remember, the beginning of his melucha, Rehoboam intended to go to war against Yerobam. Right? He wanted to return the other Shevatim to his control. Right? What happened, though?
The Navi came.
Exactly. The Navi Shmaya came along and says, hold off. Hold off. This is Hashem's plan. Hashem made Yeravam king over these other Shvatim. Therefore, you should not take any action. You should hold back and sit back and do nothing. So in the beginning, that helped for a few years, a few short years. Then after that, after the Navi passed away, that's when Rechavam decided, okay, that's it. I had enough. I'm going to go to war with Yeravam. And it sounds like for the rest of their melucha, they were back and forth going on. They had a war constantly. Yeah. Okay. Vayishkav Rechavim imavaisa, vayikavar imavaisa beir David, v'shem imoy namo ha'amoynis, v'im lechavim b'noi tachtav. Rechavim passed away. He was buried with his father. Unlike Yeravam, who did not get proper burial, like him and his family, Rechavim did get proper burial, and he was buried with his father, beir David. And notice over here that it mentions again Naama Ha'amonis, his mother.
Yeah.
Because again, Naama Ha'amonis was the one who seduced him, who pushed him to do wrong, to worship idols. And that's why he mentions him, her, this point, because she pushed him to do this until the day he died. After him, his son Aviyam became king. Let's see Perek Teslav. Ubishnash Menes Vilamelech Yeravam Benavot Molach Aviyom Al Yehuda. Now Yeravam was still king. It's 18 years into his reign. And Aviyom, the son of Rechavam, was now king on Yehuda. Now, the Malbim points out that in Divrei HaYomim, Aviyom is called Aviyah, without a mem at the end. Why? Because the son of Yeravam had a similar name. He had the same name. He also is called Aviyah. So the Shevet Yehuda, in order to differentiate between Aviyah, between both Aviyahs, they called their own Aviyah Aviyom, right, as plural. Show that he's their Aviyam, right? He's not the other Aviyah. Okay, just a side point. Yashalom Shalom Malach B'Yerushalayim V'Shem Imoy Macho Bas Avishalom. He was king for 3 years in Yerushalayim, and his mother's name was Machol Bas, the daughter of Avishalim. The son rebelled against David HaMelech. V'yelech b'chol chadis aviv v'sher osel l'fonav. He goes ahead, and he does the same thing Rechavam does. L'hoyel av Avishalim im Hashem leikov kilvav David aviv.
Now, one question. This is the daughter of Avishalim.
Mm-hmm.
He seduced all of David's concubines that he left behind. Mm-hmm. Is this... is this any relation to David's concubines? Well, we don't know. Not that it makes any difference, because he had a whole bunch of Shalom had a bunch of wives, I presume, also. What does it say?
So the Ralbag says, the reason why he mentions his mother,
she was no good either.
Exactly. Because she was no good either, just like her father was. Just like Avishalom, it was also an evil man. He tried to rebel against his king. So too, his daughter was the same thing. And also, her son, Aviyam, was exactly the same. So it was, the apple does not fall far from the tree. We'll see in a minute what exactly Macha Bas Avishalom did.
There is two different Aviyim?
Yeah. One was from the north, one was from the south.
But the same, the same name?
Yeah.
Same name, yeah.
We have something to say. What was Avishalom's sin?
The rebel against his father.
Right. Had nothing to do. Right. It had nothing to do with the false gods and stuff.
Right. No.
But this guy here, you talk about him doing, believing in idols. It's not the same thing.
Right. You're right.
It's the same at all. He's bringing this Avshalom that had his sins, but they weren't against God. They were against his father. Right? With him, he just against first. How come they try to put them together?
Well, it's not. You're right. They had different sins, yeah. But we're talking more about the personality. The personality. Personality-wise, they were both evil. They did wrong. So you're right. It wasn't exactly. They didn't. You know, it's not referring to the particular to the actual sins, but more in a general sense.
Okay.
Rehavam was killed during the war, or died?
No. He died a natural death.
Ah, but because this is before he died, there is reference. It was war between Rehavam and Rehavam. But he died not because of the war.
No. No.
But why is this sentence? There was war between Rehavam and Yeravam.
It was just pointing out that there was a war until Rehavam died.
Ah, it means not
yeah.
When died. Okay.
Right, right. That's what it's talking about. Now the Malbim points out over here that Avia, he was an evil person. True, he did worship idols, but it was more because of just continuing the ways of his father. Meaning, if it was him himself, if he started fresh, maybe he wouldn't have been worshipping idols. But because his father was already doing it, everyone was, doing it already, so he just went with the flow. You know, he continued the way it was before. He didn't change anything. Right? So that's why he's not as bad as his father. Because his father was the one who introduced it, and he just continued. Yeah. Kilaman David Nosan Hashem Alekov Le Nir Bir Shalim. Lachim is Benoy Achrov Ulahami Des Yir Shalim. Right now we're pointing out that that Hashem did everything they have now is only because of David. Right? Because there was a war between Avia and Yeravam. And the reason, and at this war, Yeravam had a much larger army. By according to the law of nature, according to the way it was, Yeravam was supposed to win, but because of David and the schus of Yerushalayim, Avia was the one who actually won. And this all happened only thanks to David, not thanks to his own schus. So that's why over here we're stressing the importance, the schos of David HaMelech. Shere also David is hayoshar b'ini Hashem, v'lisar mikol asher tivo kol yimei chayav, rak bidvar uriya hachiti. The only thing that David did wrong, apparently, was with uriya hachiti. Now the Mitzvot David points out that it doesn't say here Batsheva. It just says Uri Achiti. Mm-hmm. Right? Meaning he didn't do anything wrong with Batsheva. Why? Because again, technically, she was not married when he was with her. Because Uriah gave her a get before he went out to war. Well, that if he dies in war, she'll be divorced from before he went out to war. Right? So technically, he didn't do anything wrong.
That's really
nitpicking,
grabbing the straws. Because when he lived with her, the guy was alive. I don't care. Later on, we find out. So Technically, it's pretty hard to understand that he didn't do anything wrong.
You're right. It is a...
I mean, the Maisa happened while her husband was still alive.
Right.
So, but, okay. And he was still her husband until he died. And when he died, he wasn't her husband from times before.
Right. From retroactively before the war.
Correctly. Meanwhile, he's doing something that retroactively, you know, you're gonna start going. It's pretty tough. It's pretty tough to understand.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. It's a good point.
No,
Zub's is only sin, and David's sin only because of the Uriah.
Sorry.
Look, the only sin David did because of his wife Sheva.
Sheva, yeah.
There is nothing else. I believe he had a lot of different sins.
It says not even Bathsheba was not a sin. It was only with Uriah Hiti.
No,
what other sins are you referring to?
Yes.
He's called Uriah Hiti. Was he Jewish?
Yes.
Why they call him Achiti?
Because originally he came from...
That's where he was living with them.
Yeah.
I believe he did something, a lot of different wrong things during the war, killed some people without reason.
Like what?
No, what we read. Okay. There is no Uriah, he is almost perfect guy.
Yeah. Okay, again, this is not really our topic right now, so we're not going to get too much into it. So let's see weiter. U'melchama ha'isa ben Rechavim ben Yerovim kol yimei chayov. Right, again, there was war this whole time. So again, this is referring to that major war that he had. So apparently the Ralbag elaborates a little bit, and he says that this war... During this war, there were 500,000 Jewish men who died this war, right? And Rechavam was very not trained in war. He was not prepared. Why? Because his father, Shlomo, during his time, there was peace, right? First of all, there was peace. Secondly, he was not used to war. Secondly, he was a young boy when he started his melucha. He was not old and experienced, right? He was young. He was a young man. And therefore, he was not prepared at all for war. Aviam, on the other hand, was very different because he saw everything that happened during his father's time, Rechavam. He saw the wars that happened between Rechavam and Yeravam. That's why it's mentioning it here again. Secondly, he was much older when he became king. Much older than Rechavam. And therefore, he was much more prepared. Yeah, 500,000, yeah, men. Very sad. Very, very sad. I don't know. It's a good question. But I'm saying... Yeah, very sad. So Aviam passed away, and they buried him again in Beer David. And Asa was now king. Now Asa was one of the best kings that the Jewish people had after David. So let's see a little bit. We're going to see a little bit later what exactly what he did. Mishnas Esrum Meiravam, Melech Yisrael, Malach Asa Melech Yehuda. So Aviyam was only king for 3 years. Right? And when Yerobam was 20 years into his reign, that's when Asa became king. Yeah. So again, it mentions he was king for 41 years. And again, it mentions his mother, because just like she was bad, so too he was bad. Asa was the first one in his family who started steering the wheel back to the right way. And he was just like David. He did the right thing. He got rid of all these Kedeshim that we mentioned before, are these illicit relations, all this business. Yeah, that was going on. All these different idols that his fathers were bowing down to, he got rid of them. The only thing he did not manage to get rid of was the personal bamas that each one had in his own backyard when anyone wanted to bring a korban, that he couldn't get rid of because that was in private property. But all the public ones he got rid of right away. Right, so all the stuff that was going on in the Melucha, took care of it immediately.
Okay. Was he king over the whole Israel now?
No. Again, so he only has power in Yerobam. Yerobam was a king, still king.
So he kept doing what he did?
Yeah.
And this guy was doing what he's not. So, I mean, who was in Yerushalayim by the base of Migdash?
Asa.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's why he did. All right, good.
Right. Yes. Megamas mach imoy v'yasireha migvira asher atzta miflatzes la'ashera v'yichreis asa es miflatzta v'yisarf benachal kidroin. Not only that, but he took care of his mother as well. His grandmother, actually. Now, macha, what she did was she made a miflatzes. A miflatzes was a certain type of avodah zarah. And Rashi explains that this avodah zarah apparently had the shape of he was the shape of a man, and she was very explicit in his manhood body parts, and every day apparently she would have some kind of sexual relations with this idol, and that was a way of worshiping him, apparently. Yeah, so Asa, the first chance he had, took this miflatzes, he took this idol, and he smashed it, and he burned it in an achal kidroin. As we mentioned before, the personal bamais that each one had in his own backyard, that he did not get rid of, but his heart was in the right place throughout his whole kingship.
Oh, and
it's all right.
He says he got rid of her as queen. What did he do? What did he do to her?
I don't think he did any. He didn't kill her, right? But he removed her from her position.
What kind of position from?
That's
mother?
It.
Usually, his wife probably has position, but why mother should? Why mother should have position?
She was the queen.
It was some
mother.
Kind of official, some kind of official position. I don't know exactly what it was. But he wanted to remove her from her any official position because he was afraid of her influence. He was afraid that if she had still some kind of official position, people would look up to her, and they would respect her, and if she would try to get them back to avoid the Zara, they would follow her. That's why it was important to him to make sure she doesn't do so, and in order to do that, he had to remove her from any official position. And he got rid of all the idols. He made sure that everyone would follow him. No one would get any ideas in their head. Okay, we'll stop here because it's time for Ma'ariv. We'll continue next week. Eid Rosh Hashanah.